I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, Blue Collar Catholic Radio. This is Straight Talk Catholicism. We've got a great show today. We got a good friend of the show, Dr. John Horvat. He's a walking encyclopedia, and I'm going to pelt him with questions that many Catholics have about our present culture right now. But I want to pick you up before we start. I want to share with you today's psalm at Holy Mass. The psalms were written by, according to tradition, King David. Maybe some of them were written by Solomon. And the Psalms just seem to be those type of prayers that pick you up when you're feeling the blues. And so let me share with you today's Psalm before we go to Dr. Horvat and we start a high-level conversation. Psalm 36, it says, O Lord, your mercy reaches to heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your justice is like the mountains of God, your judgments like the mighty deep. How precious is your mercy, O God. The children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They have their fill of the prime gifts of your house. From your delightful stream, you give them to drink. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Keep up your mercy towards your friends, your just defense of the upright of heart. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And today's communion antiphon is, Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, alleluia. I share that because oftentimes we think that that we as Catholics, we sometimes have envy of politicians, of people in Hollywood, entertainers. And you really should be thankful that you're one of God's little ones, because I'll tell you what, who's the one that makes it to heaven? It's the little ones. And what does that mean? Those that are humble, those that are seeking wisdom and knowledge and want more faith and hope and love. It's not about who you are that gets you to heaven. It's about who you know. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing I want to mention, in the month of July, in the Catholic faith, this month is dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in the month of July, Holy Mother Church asks us to remember and revere. Go to Mass as often as possible. Visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We need more prayer power, because this is the month that we recall where the precious blood of Jesus was spilled for us on Calvary. And by attending Mass and going to Eucharistic adoration, this is the way we come in contact with sanctifying grace. No man will be saved without sanctifying grace. And so let's remember that the month of July is the month that we want to remember that we're washed, renewed, and healed through the power of his precious blood that comes through the seven sacraments of the church. Okay, enough of the preliminary stuff. Let's get on to some good conversation. Dr. Horvat, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Great to be on.
We always use your articles for primers for fodder for our shows. So I just want to thank you for providing a service to Holy Mother Church. A lot of things going on right now, Dr. Horvat. I'm going to jump right into it.
All right.
Our society seems to be almost in complete disorder. I won't say complete, but I'll say almost in complete disorder. We see most politicians govern their cities in a very disordered manner. I'm thinking about like California, New York, Washington, state of Washington, etc. Our colleges teach disordered curriculum like queer studies, transgender studies, sexology, woman studies, which is basically nothing but an indoctrination to radical feminism and anti-patriarchy. We also see Hollywood is putting out disordered dystopian movies. I mean, the list is so long, but I'm thinking of one like The Purge or Hunger Games or Brokeback Mountain. So my first question is, Dr. Horvat, how did we get here?
Well, it wasn't instantly. It took time. I think, these things are part of process. They're historic processes that have, which I call a revolution that has happened throughout history. And these processes follow the logic of ever more egalitarian society, every time trying to make things more equal, trying to make things more disordered. And the final goal of this revolution is to destroy Christian civilization, or what's left of it. And that's how we got here. It's a long process. You can trace it back all the way to, all the way to the Protestant Revolution, if you like. You know, it goes that far back. And now we're reaching into more advanced phases that are leading to ever more disordered panoramas that we're facing.
Dr. Horvat, one of the things that we know about God's revelation is that God is a God of order. We know that from 1 Corinthians 14:33. Mm-hmm. You look at the book of Genesis, the first two chapters, you see the order, the design, the delicacy, the intricacy of creation, mm-hmm. the order and the intricacy of the human body, the human person. Everything mm-hmm. about God screams order, and everything about the enemy, the devil, screams disorder. So I think a follow-up question would be, what do we have to do to bring back our society back to some type of social order? What are some of the things that we have to do?
I think one of the first things...
Micro and macro.
I think one of the first things we have to do is to denounce where they want to go, where the final goal is. And I think the final goal is a satanic society. It's a society of complete disorder, a destruction of the very person, the identity, the being of things. We need to do everything possible to promote reactions to this kind of thing. The devil, when he acts, he always acts hiding his final goals, because they are something that is repugnant to human nature. And so, to the extent that we can denounce his maneuver, and that's even in the smallest things, say, well, this is where this is going to go. You are, in a sense, dismantling his maneuver. And so I think that is one of the most important things, is to denounce that and to present the complete opposite of that, of the satanic ideal. You know, a lot of people are converting these days. They're not converting to something wishy-washy. They're converting to something that's the complete opposite. They want to go back to tradition. They want to go back to the church, to the rosary, to the things that are, incredibly contrary to the modern world. And so I think that is one of the things that we need to consider.
Dr. Horvat, you just mentioned something right now about, again, just the whole satanic underlay in all of this. And there's an often overlooked Bible verse in the New Testament. I want to share it here. But it basically says what you just said right now, that about the fact that there's this satanic underlay. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, St. John writes, "By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother." So John the Apostle just talks about two teams on planet Earth, the children mm-hmm. of God, the children of the devil. And he said it's pretty obvious to see who's part of whose team. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that you've been doing, and I appreciate that, because a lot of people don't like to broach that topic, especially people with a PhD. Sometimes you get smeared by other academics and they say, oh, that's being too simplistic talking about the devil. And I'm mm-hmm. glad to see that you're not afraid to tackle this, because this is part of the Judeo-Christian teaching that goes back, millennia. Mm-hmm. And you've written several well-documented articles, which I've used in several shows. And so let me ask you, there seems to have been a rise in Satanism and the occult. I don't know, maybe since the 60s, since the sexual mm-hmm. revolution, Vietnam War, Woodstock, mm-hmm. The Stonewall Inn riots in New York, where the birth of the homosexual movement. The 60s was a time of a lot of turmoil. There seems to have been a rise in Satanism and the occult since the 60s. Anton LaVey started the Church of Satan in the 60s. He put the Satanic Bible together. So my question is this a symptom or is this the cause of the disorder? In other words, is Satanism center stage in the culture war?
Well, I definitely think it is because I don't look at history from the point of view of just simply economics or political or even, you know, even cultural. It's always a spiritual battle, and there is always this battle taking place between God and Satan, you know, and Satan's always been there. But what we're seeing now is that it's much more open today. The occult is not a cult. It's not hidden. It's there. It's out there. And as you said, the 60s was a major milestone, but I think even a greater milestone was to say 2016. You're seeing a lot of witches and a lot of witchcraft entering into the political scene. You're seeing books that are written that talk about how to merge magic and politics, how to launch spells against, and even in this last violence, there were witches that were involved telling, had a TikTok page that with 10 million views that told people how to cast spells upon police and how to pass other spells protecting the protesters. So it is very, very intense now. It's much more intense than it was in the 60s, much more intense now. And it's showing itself. You know, you see I've seen videos of witches dressed in black, you know, just the classical witches out in the streets doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know?
Hold that thought. We're going to continue on this. I want to broach this some more. We're listening to Terry and Jesse Show, and Dr. John Horvat. We're talking about the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan, how it impacts us today. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse shows rated R, righteous, respectful, and rejuvenating. We've got Dr. John Horvat here. We're talking about the disorder in our society, the dystopia, Satanism, everything that has to do with this this entire cocktail of evil, which is all interconnected. And so, Dr. Horvat, we're talking about the fact that there's been a rise in Satanism and the occult, and it's no longer hidden. That's what the word occult means, hidden. It's no longer hidden. It seems to be center stage in this culture war, and I just want to put in a cheap plug for my book. I wrote a book called A Catholic Vote for Trump. It's put out by Tan Books. And in here, I give you basically the reasons why you should talk with your family members and friend on why we need to reelect President Trump. But I will say this, and I did mention it in the book. When you have Satanists cursing you liturgically, they have an official, like, dedicated time of cursing you. You have witches cursing you in liturgical manner. You have Planned Parenthood coming against you and funding your enemies against you. And you also have the communists coming after you. I don't know. That seems to be that you seem that seems to speak volumes about your character. That's the type of guy I want. In other words, if Planned Parenthood hates Jess Romero and the communists hate me and Satanists are cursing me and witches are cursing me, that probably says that I'm probably on the right side of the fence. And I just named the four enemies of President Trump. So going back to this macro question that you were talking about, Satanism is not something that's being done in some dark corner somewhere, in the forests of San Bernardino in some shack. It's now mainstream. They're open. They have, again, uniformity in social media. They have like this liturgical cursing times throughout the day. They're trying to have black masses in universities and in government rented buildings. This is a huge problem right now. And I think that as Catholics, not enough Catholics, and even our clergy, I don't think they make enough about this. I think there should be more of a liturgical, institutional response from our church, from our bishops. What do you say?
Well, definitely, yes. The people have the tendency to think that Satanism is something is sort of a folkloric thing, you know, that it just sort of spells and things that people do, and they don't have any real effect upon society and events. And that's absolutely not true. The devil can act and does act when he's called upon to act, and it can have, you know, very dire effects upon people. You know, when you have somebody, launching a spell against you, it can have habit effects on you. It can't. I mean, God will protect you if you are devout and you are and you take your precautions. But it does have its effects, and we can't underrate them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. They certainly take it seriously. We should also take it seriously.
And the reason we know, Doctor, that it does have an effect is because, you know, you'll even find exorcists will tell you. That's why they're always telling us as Catholics, live in a state of sanctifying grace, because sanctifying grace protects you from curses and hexes. If you're a Catholic that's living in mortal sin, you're not protected. And if somebody, a family member, a friend, is cursing and hexing you and doing incantations, those curses will take hold because they're calling demons to vex, torment, annoy you, harass you. Your only protection, as Saint Paul talks about in an entire chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, is to put on the armor of God. The armor of God is living in a state of sanctifying grace.
Definitely.
John, let me ask you another question. Give me your take on the coronavirus. I think it's either God's direct will or his permissive will. I tend to lean more as his permissive will. How should Catholics discern this pandemic? Is it a wake-up call for everybody to get right with God, to return to God and return to a social order? Give us kind of your analysis of the coronavirus. And I say this because there are some prelates that have more of a modernist view. They're saying, no, this has nothing to do with God. This has nothing to do with God. This is, you know, right. God out of it and stuff. And they just completely dismiss the biblical data that God has used diseases and plagues in time past to chastise his people, because the Bible says God chastises those who he loves. So where do you fall on this? Give us your take on the coronavirus.
Well, it's controversial. I know it's controversial. But I tend to fall. I do fall. I don't even tend to fall. I do say it is a chastisement. And, you know, people say, well, that's a cruel way of looking at it. And I say, well, the person to ask if it's a chastisement is not a theologian. It's not a person that, you know, doesn't want to hear that. It's to ask a repentant sinner. And I'm a repentant sinner. And I'll take credit for it. I deserve this. My sins deserve this chastisement. And I believe, if repentant sinners, you look at them throughout history, they are the first ones to say that God is chastising, even though they are repentant and they are in a state of grace. So I would say, at least from my point of view, for my part, I deserve this. I deserve all the consequences of this pandemic, because it is, we live in a world of sin. And one of the reasons why I think people don't like the idea of chastisement is because we've lost completely the notion of what sin is or mortal sin is. It's just sort of a little thing, you know. It's one abortion would be enough to cause a chastisement of what we're seeing in this pandemic. But we have millions of abortions, and those are millions of sins, and those are very serious and grave sins against God. So I would say that's my take on it. It definitely is.
You know what? You just said something that I remember years ago. St. John Paul II, he mentioned it. He said about he talked a little bit about the theology of sin, and I remember he made a statement. He said that society has lost its sense of sin.
Absolutely.
And that's where we're at right now. It seems like if our moral compass, which is supposed to point towards the North Star, Jesus Christ, our moral compass is broken, and it's not pointing towards the North Star. We're more concerned now with me, myself, and I want to feel good. And that's the difference, between Satanism and Luciferianism and Catholic Christianity. Catholic Christianity is thy will be done. Mm-hmm. Satanism and Luciferianism is my will be done.
Right, right. And, so many saints, they'll say that. I mean, for them, I think it was probably St. Ignatius who said, to prevent a single mortal sin, I would suffer my whole life, wow. Just to prevent a single one. But so many other saints have said similar things, that they would gladly suffer so that a sin would not be committed, a mortal sin might be sin, even venial sins. So, they definitely knew the gravity of sin. They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant to God. And, to say that this is a chastisement, we suffer that chastisement out of joy because we know we deserve it. We know this is helping our spiritual lives. This is going to help our sanctification. Chastisement is not necessarily a bad thing. It's something that will help us in our path towards sanctification and ultimately toward our salvation, to go to heaven.
Dr. John, something just jumped out at me is when you said that, and it's beautiful. I want to share it. St. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 8, what you just said. Romans chapter 8, I'm looking for the passage where he says, I'll find it right here. Here it is. Romans 8:18. Here's what you just said. St. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us in heaven.
Yes.
St. Paul says, man, the sufferings we're going through right now, as St. Teresa of Avila, she said, for those who die and get to heaven, when they look at their life on planet Earth, it's going to be just like one night in a cheap hotel. if you lived a horrible life for 90 years, quadriplegic, with a, with a feeding tube in your throat on a wheelchair, even if you live like that in a dark hospice, St. Teresa says, when you die and you're in heaven, for those who make it, she says, all the bad moments on planet Earth will just seem like one night in a cheap hotel. Let me ask you another question here. I want to ask you about this us versus them mentality in America, because this is huge. This is where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that divides America, if there's one fundamental issue where we can see the us versus them, would be the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. I think that's bifurcated the country, pro-life, pro-death. And so my question to you, this us versus them mentality in America, how do we get there and how do we bridge the divide in this country?
Well, I mean, us versus them is there. There's no doubt. And us is generally on the side of God. Not always. You know, there are the different degrees to which people adhere to certain, you know, like abortion or like pro-life. And them is very much along the lines of saying, well, I don't want the moral law. Abortion is an issue that is very much a summary of the moral law, because you can't have half abortion. It's either one or the other. It's very polarizing. It's very categorical. So there is this divide that does exist. And to bridge the divide, it doesn't consist in making concessions, because you'll just end up on the other side of the divide. I mean, it consists in converting the other side. That's the only way you're going to really make bridge that divide, to bring the other side over to God, because that is you're desiring the best for that person, and the other side's doing the same for you. They want you on their side. So, I mean, it is a battle. You don't, there's not too much in between right now. So I think we definitely need to bridge the divide, but through evangelization, not through concessions and, you know, giving up and doing all these crazy things that people.
Or accommodation or compromise.
Accommodation. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, it's none of this. We can't go around and just hold hands around a tree and say, "Hey, all religions are the same. Let's sing kumbaya." That's
right,
not evangelization.
Right. It never goes anywhere. You end up on the other side.
Yeah, you're right. You probably end up losing ground.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. Here's a question that pertains to the here and now. The Democrats and Joe Biden have largely embraced socialism. If you look at what they're espousing today, some of them are open about it, like AOC, the congresswoman, Bernie Sanders, and many others. So, Dr. Horvat, what would be the danger of fully implementing socialism in America? Isn't it kind of a utopia, kind of a heaven on earth?
No, I mean, it would destroy America as we know it. I have no doubt about that. Because the aim of these things is to destroy civilization, or especially our Christian civilization, because that is the all the underpinnings of our civilization came from Christian civilization. And so any little remnant.
Doctor, I hear the music. Hold the thought. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got Dr. John Horvat here from Return to Order. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, and share this with others. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. There's only one state that every Catholic should desire to live in. That's not California, not New York, not Arizona. We should all desire to live in the state of grace. And there's one state that you don't want to live in, not even for the weekend. Don't even drive your car by. It's called the state of mortal sin. We got Dr. John Horvat here. We're talking about all things Catholic, and we're just having an intelligent conversation about our present culture, the present state of the church. Dr. John, if people want to get a hold of you and see your writings, buy your books, Return to Order, where do they contact you for a speaking engagement? Where can they buy your books, and where can they solicit you for interviews?
You can go to returntoorder.org. Go to the contact page if you want to contact me. My email address is there. You can get and the phone number. And on the www.returntoorder.org page, there's also information about how to get the book, a blog that has a lot of the writings that I write over the years.
I want to compliment you on that book. It really purified my intellect. I had a pretty strong understanding of what you had said, but you mm-hmm. clarified a lot of key points, and you just made a lot of the ideas that I already kind of had there. They made them very concrete. So I can just say that You basically have snapped my intellect back to order as a result of your book. So I want to thank you, Dr. John. I was already tracking in the right direction, but you just kind of purified my thoughts. So you've done Holy Mother Church a great service with your book.
Well, there's so much the church teaches, and so many treasures of the church you can dip into. It's just amazing. You know, the church has a solution for everything, whether it be economics, politics, culture, and of course, you know, religion and theology.
Okay, I'd cut you off a little bit. So I'm going to reframe the question. The Democrats and Joe Biden have embraced socialism. And so what's the danger of implementing socialism for those people that are just tuning in right now?
Well, I said it was to destroy America as we know it, especially what's the remnants of what's left of Christian civilization in America. And there's a lot of things going wrong in America. There are a lot of very bad things like abortion and same-sex marriage and all these things that are
intrinsically
in
evil, immoral, offend God, an abomination. Yeah,
right. Transgenderism, all these crazy, the horrible and abominations that you correctly label them. These things are in our society, but we still have a society. And a lot of the things, the underpinnings of that society are Christian in their origins and in their applications. And that's what they want to destroy. As long as there's a remnant of the family left, a remnant of patriotism left, a remnant of all those just structures like courtesy or in all these kind of things. These are the targets of socialism. And it's a much more radical socialism than that of the Soviet Union or, you know, the classical socialism we see today. This wants to go into the very depths. So, you know, they'll deny logic, deny identity, deny unity. I mean, very philosophical, metaphysical aspects of society.
It's well thought out and well planned. It's diabolical. There's a diabolical wisdom, like James chapter 3 says. There is a diabolical mm-hmm. wisdom in the world, and it's being ran through Marxism and socialism and communism.
Yes, definitely.
Let me ask you another question. Global warming was pitched over a decade ago with Al Gore, and it lost some steam because the science just didn't back it up. There was too many scientists that were opposing it. Then they kind of renamed it. They wanted to soften it up a bit, and they started calling it climate change. But they saw that, wait a minute, that's kind of a universal, you know, truth. We all know that there's four seasons. Climates change. So the left abandoned that term, and now they've embraced a new term, and they've renamed it because they want to just try to ram Marxism in through economics and stuff. So now they're calling it sustainable development. So they went from global warming to climate change, and now they're calling it sustainable development. So what's the end game of the left with this movement?
Well, I mean, the ecological movement has economic aspects of it, which will destroy our American economy and all the, you know, the development, civilization is a target. It has cultural aspects of it to destroy the structures of society, social structures, and it has theological ones. I mean, the Pachamama type society that they have in mind is a society of earth worship, which is inevitably leads to devil worship. And I think that is where they want to go, you know, to take society to the type of society of total freedom and of total lack of restraint, to do whatever you want to destroy the image and likeness of God on earth, basically turn earth into hell. I think that's where they really want to go.
And if anybody wants to see the socialism and communism where it's being practiced, just take a look at Venezuela, not too far from here. Take a look at Cuba and talk to the people from those countries and ask them how it's worked for them. That's why they're jumping the fence to come over here in caravans.
We saw a little bit of that in the Shahs. I mean, it was up in Seattle. I mean, they turned that six blocks into a type of hell, where everybody did everything they wanted and they wrote everything they wanted on the thing. And it was complete chaos. And, you know, that's the kind of society they like and they want.
That's a good point. And I think the way we could frame everything that we're seeing right here is, do we want a society of order or of disorder? It's just that simple. I mean, those are the two words that capture the whole conversation. Do we want order because God is a God of order. And God has given us order throughout history through patriarchy. That's the way God protects, through patriarchy. And so that's one of the goals of Black Lives Matter and basically in socialism, is they want to destroy patriarchy. They want to destroy the family, the patriarchal family. It's right in Black Lives Matter's website, which is basically cut and paste from Marxist thought. And so my question is, let's get into the weeds here into November. What would you tell Catholics? What is the stark difference between a Trump presidency versus a Biden presidency? Here's what I think, and then maybe you could expand on this. I think the stark difference would be the difference between nationalism making this country great, because if we make America great, if we raise the game, we lift up everybody else's game. If we could raise the water level, we're going to raise up all the boats around the world, all the other countries. And I think that's what President Trump is trying to do. By raising America and making it great, it helps the other 197 other countries that are kind of attached to us like a remora fish on a shark. It makes them better as well. I think what Joe Biden, who called himself a Catholic, I think that he is bought into the Bernie Sanders AOC party line. I think that he wants to implement socialism. I think that's the difference. Am I onto something? Am I right or wrong?
No, definitely. I mean, it will be a very radical difference. I mean, we've rarely seen such a radical difference from one side to the other. I mean, the last couple elections have always been framed as the election that's going to decide everything. Well, every election that comes forward, it's farther into the process and farther. And, you know, each time each one becomes more important than the next. So, yeah, it will be a very radical difference. And I think nationalism in itself is not enough, because nationalism is a very vague term. It could mean a lot of different things. What we want is the kingship of Christ on earth. That's
Amen.
Our final goal.
That's
and,
right.
If that's a means to get there, let's go there. But if it's not, if we're just going to stay in that one, that means I want to go farther. But that definitely is, that there is a radical difference between one and the other.
Yeah, and here's what I tell some of my friends, some people that, you know, conservatives on the right. A lot of conservatives I know are what I call 2M conservatives. They're just concerned about money, the economy, and the military. So I call them 2M conservatives. And I tell people that I, as a Catholic Christian, my primary identity is I'm a child of God, a citizen of heaven, a soldier of Christ. But I'm a 3M conservative. What that means, I believe in morality, money, economics, the economy, and military, strong defense. So, but God has to be first. Morality comes from God. It doesn't come in out of nowhere, out of thin air. It comes from the Judeo-Christian understanding of the Ten Commandments. So I think as a Catholic who's a conservative, you can't leave God out of the equation. If you're a secular conservative, you really have nothing to hang your hat on. That's my take. What do you say?
Definitely. I mean, we're seeing that. I mean, the foundation of everything is the moral law, which is the natural law. And, you know, once you've strayed away from that, everything is possible. And, you know, all the Supreme Court justices are not natural law justices, unfortunately. They should be. And that's the only way to guarantee that you're going to have justice, if everyone appears to the natural law. And, you know, that's the only way we're going to have a just society. And these theories of constitutionalism, originalism, all these kind of things that have elements of the natural law, they're not going to get us where we need to go, because there's always a loophole that'll take us around and not get us to not reinforce the moral law, which is the same for all peoples, all places, and all times.
Good point. John, got a question. This is kind of touchy, delicate, but it's a fact. Is there an us versus them inside our Catholic Church, which is the one true church of Jesus Christ, founded by Christ himself? Is there an us versus them, or are we all one big happy family?
No, they're definitely, you know, we just talked about how there is a polarization inside society. Well, there is a reflection of that inside the church, and vice versa. I would say probably what's happening inside society is more a reflection of what's happening inside the church, because if the church had its house in order, it would have the means to put society into order. So there is definitely that polarization. You have the polarization on one side of the Father Martins and the inclusives and the progressives and the feminists and the pro-homosexual, pro-life Catholics, and the other side as well.
You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. If you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button and share this show with other people. We're here with John Horvat from Return to Order talking about the culture wars. We'll be right back.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back, Terry and Jesse Show. We've got our good friend, Dr. John Horvat. He's written a book. It's called Return to Order. It's one of those must-read books that should be in every Catholic shelf. And he talks about how to return to solve our economic crisis. Our economic crisis, we have to turn back to God because there's a moral crisis. And Dr. John, how can people get a hold of the book? How can they get a hold of you for speaking engagements or for interviews?
Yes, you can go to www.returntoorder.org. There you'll find ways to get the book, audiobook, ebook, or the actual hard copy. There's a blog there with a lot of articles. And if you go to the contact page or the bio page, you'll find information how to get a hold of me personally through by telephone or by email.
You know, John, I think this book should be on President Trump's desk, and it should be used as the guiding principle for any presidency, because it's just, you're just bringing the country back to moral sanity. But let's go back to some of the problems within the church, this us versus them inside the church. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, our Lord warns us that the devil would scatter seed in the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is the Catholic Church here in the New Testament. But our Lord says, don't uproot the bad from the good, the weeds from the wheat. Don't do that. He goes, let them grow together until harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, those are the angels, to gather the weeds. Those are the bad people within the church. First, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The wheat are the good. So he says that bad and good in the kingdom of heaven, they grow alongside each other. So this us versus them, we've been warned by our Lord Jesus Christ that this is a very real thing that's been happening for 2,000 years. And so my question to you, I think the us versus them has gotten a little bit worse. It's gotten a little bit more acute. I think the them inside the church is, I think they're called modernists. And I think they've been identified. They'll call themselves modernist progressives or liberation theology, proponents. They'll call themselves, they've also been called the St. Gallen Mafia. They've also been called the Lavender Mafia. The fact is, I mean, we have been infiltrated in the church. I read my friend Dr. Taylor Marshall's book, and I agree with his thesis. I think he made a strong argument, and it's very, very, very obvious that there has been an infiltration. We were warned by popes about this 100 years ago, about the modernist infiltration. So, how do we win this? How are we going to restore the church to holiness and orthodoxy and beauty and to be the unblemished bride of Christ? Because right now you've got infiltrators and you got imposters in high places. In fact, today the first reading at Mass, Jeremiah the prophet, he's always taking shots at false shepherds. The first reading at Mass today, Jeremiah the prophet says, watch out for the shepherds who rebelled against me. That's the shepherds who rebelled against God. Shepherd means pastor. Mm-hmm. The prophets prophesied Baal and went after useless idols. So Jeremiah is saying, even the prophets that are supposed to be talking about God are worshiping this false god Baal. So this problem has been around since salvation history. Prophets just turning away from and shepherds that have lost their way. Comments, questions, thoughts?
Definitely. It's there since Adam and Eve. I mean, if we want to get to the very beginning. So the evil always does exist and will exist and will always conspire against the church. And we need to always be on guard about this. But as far as what we can do, I mean, we're not going to do it. God is going to do it. God is taking care of his church. And we have to have confidence that God will take care of his church, even in these very hard times. I think the proof of it is pretty much the fact that you and I are here shows that God can work. You know, otherwise we would be out there. I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's work. And I see so many times God acting in society and in the amazing conversion stories, the amazing stories of people of priests, of laity, of who have come a long way and have gone to the exact opposite of where they were before. So God does act. And I think God will act, still act, and will, Our Lady will always triumph. And I think we need to put a lot of confidence in Our Lady that she will triumph, maybe through a chastisement, maybe through some kind of, you know, through the hardships that life will bring. But the church will prevail. It always has prevailed and will continue to prevail.
Amen. Pray the daily rosary, because we know that the Blessed Mother has power and authority over Satan, Genesis 3:15. And if you want to be part of the winning team, you need to be praying the daily rosary. I got a question, John. The opioid and the marijuana craze, this whole push. I mean, it's like the sacrament for the left, drugs. It really is. Mm. I mean, I think that's where they feel that they receive sanctifying or anti-grace.
Yeah. So
my question is there a spiritual solution to the opioid and the marijuana craze, or is this just something that we have to leave to the psychologists and psychiatrists?
I definitely think there is. I mean, one of the reasons why people take drugs, it's not only pain, or, you know, it's a type of spiritual high. It's a discontent with the material. And so the hippies did that. Everybody did that because they wanted a type of spiritual high. They wanted to go beyond just the natural. And drugs can never substitute the natural. They just simply won't do it. But there's definitely that analogy there. I think I'm not sure what, you know, the church definitely can work and help people in that regard, because the church teaches people how to behave, how to deal with addictions, how to deal with bad habits, how to acquire good habits. People change quite dramatically, but through the grace of God. And I think that's an enormous help in overcoming an addiction. People will change just like that very quickly, and much more efficiently than through psychological means. That's not to say psychological means can't be used and shouldn't be used, because there are situations where psychology is a science of healing and medicine that needs to be considered. But grace is definitely can motivate the person to and give the person the strength to carry through and to do what he needs to do to overcome them.
John, let's switch gears and let's talk about something that's happening around the country, the destruction of toppling of statues. I want to be specific about St. Louis the Ninth and why he was loved. Why should we as Americans care about St. Louis? I know witches are also involved in this violence. We talked about that. So what characteristics made St. Louis a great leader, and why should Americans draw inspiration from St. Louis? And ultimately, why is toppling this statue wrong? Big question. You got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. They want to topple the equestrian statue of St. Louis that's in Forest Park in St. Louis. Beautiful statue, amazingly beautiful statue. And they've started a petition, and we've actually started a petition. We have 50,000 signatures on this petition. And but they St. Louis was a truly just and amazing ruler. He was a ruler that wanted to avoid mortal sin more than anything. You know, that just that alone would make you want to have him as a ruler, but he would listen to the people, listen to their cases under the oak tree in Vincennes, and just all the things that he did, helping the poor, helping the society, creating a very prosperous and economically prosperous society as well. I think he is a model of a statesman that we need today, you know, because he was simply, he was a saint, and he was in a state of grace, and he did what he needed to do.
Was he a French king?
He was the French king, yes. Around 1250, around that time in the 13th century. And just an amazing, he had a mother that was a saint. He had a cousin that was a saint, Saint Ferdinand of Castile.
Wow.
And he led a crusade. He was just an amazing, amazing, amazing leader.
So he has all these amazing characteristics that are part of his bio.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has canonized him, so he's been deemed to have heroic virtue. Why
yes.
is it that people want to topple this statue? And why would we tell him as Catholics, why is it wrong?
Well, it's wrong because he was a just man. There's nothing about him that wasn't just. Of course, one of the groups that doesn't like him are the Islamic people. You know, the Islamic, because he led a crusade. But at that time, the Islam was the communism at the time. They occupied the Holy Land. They, you know, they don't consider the context of the time that they need to consider. But
yeah,
even among Muslims, when he was captured by the Muslims, Muslims considered him so just that they would bring their cases to him to judge while in captivity. It was just he was just someone that was just.
I just need to say right from the get-go that the Crusades were a just war.
Yes.
If we didn't fight the Crusades, we would not be having a Catholic podcast right now. We'd be having an Islamic Arabic podcast, and you and I would be worshiping Allah and calling Muhammad a prophet, and we'd have a Quran on our desk right now, and we'd be subjugating our women and having to wear burqa. So let's thank God for these brave men that fought this just war and preserved Catholic Christianity, because trust me, if they would have lost those wars and Islam would have taken over the whole world, we'd be having a different conversation right now. So, John, what are you doing right now to stop from them from taking down this statue? How can people get involved in petitioning for the St. Louis statue to remain where it's at?
I think the easiest way would be Google TFP St. Louis petition. It'll come right up.
Say it again.
TFP St. Louis petition. And you'll find there, and you can sign on. There are 52,000 signatures. The counter petition has about 640 or something like that. So
We've
really outdone them. So let's make it more.
John Horvath, thank you very much for being on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll have to do this again. Be well, my friend. God bless you. Keep the faith. And we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. God bless.
Okay. Don't forget to get his book, Return to Order. ReturnToOrder.com. ReturnToOrder.com. One of the best books to understand what's happening in our culture right now. You've been listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. If you like what you hear, then like us and click the subscribe button and send this show. Share it with other people. And just remember, as Catholics, let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Pray your rosary every day and make sure that your life is centered on Jesus Christ and his Eucharistic presence. Get to Mass as often as possible. Visit our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Be Eucharistic and be Marian. Get holy or die trying. What else is there? God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.